At Quite the Thing Media, we aim to bring you the best podcasts produced by independent creators, made without constraints.
This is Anoop from A Walk Within Podcast. Join Podcast Father on this journey, sharing great things all sorts of creators are doing. He is the indie podcaster.
You've been searching for a podcast. Want to know about some great artist? You've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster with your host, the Podcast Father.
Thanks for listening and thanks for telling a friend. Welcome to another episode of Indie Podcaster. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Podcast Father. Tim McCarthy from 2010 Minutes is still with me here. What's going on, Tim?
What's going on with you? What's going on with me? I'm doing great. But what about you?
I'm doing well, man. But my question for you is, are you just walking around those mean streets of West Newbury, Massachusetts?
No one's going to see me out there. Does anyone get the reference?
Yeah. I hope they did. Yeah. I'm glad you got there, Dan. I didn't prep you up for that either. I just shot that at you and you got it.
Dude, you throw something at me, I'm catching it. All right.
So tell us about Quincy, man. Is that like West Newbury?
No, Quincy's the best. I will ruin this episode just talking about Quincy alone. But no, home of the presidents, John Quincy Adams, John Adams. You can't get much better than that. Where the original Dunkin' Donuts was created.
Damn, can't beat that.
Yeah. No, the original Dunkies guy. If you want to be from Boston, you got to call it Dunks guy.
Boston. I just can't do it. I'm going to work on that some, though, for sure. Yeah. So check out Tim's podcast. He's got a website. He's got an app. He's got it all. I'll let you tell about it for a minute. You've got it all, man. You can go to Google Play. You can go to the Apple Store. You can do anything.
Yeah, you can find me anywhere. Just don't call me 20 TI minutes because I don't understand that. But it's 20 Tim minutes with one M. It's kind of easier to look at on the eyes. But yeah, you can go to 2010minutes.com. You can find me on social media, 2010minutes. And yes, I have an app. I don't know why. My friend from Appetizers LLC helped me create an app. Great way if you need an app created, little shout out. But yeah, I have my own app. So download your podcasting app, download the Good Pods app, and download the 2010 Minutes app. Why not?
You got all your plugs in. I like that. Tim has a great podcast that deals with mental health, and it deals with it in a way that everybody can relate to. So I suggest you check it out. But Tim, let's talk about who we're going to interview today. I say you, but it was me who I interviewed today. Stacy Sims from Diabetes Connections Podcast. She's also involved in She Podcast. Been in broadcasting for decades. I mean, you get a chance to look into her some, Tim?
Yeah, a little bit. I was always into broadcasting, so I'm very envious of her career.
You know, this is interesting because she started this podcast because of her son's battle with diabetes type 1. She does not mention that, you know, and she even said one day she will let her son share that story if he wants. However, that experience really inspired her to create a community and a podcast as like a support system for diabetes type 1.
I actually like that a lot. I know she's from the Charlotte, North Carolina area, which I used to frequent down there. So yeah, that's fantastic. I love people that really help others what they've been through because it's the same thing. It's like I'm going through it and there's a bunch of other people going through this too. And I want to help those people. So shout out to her.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm not going to lie. My awareness for diabetes, man, is not very high. I know a lot of people are impacted by a whole lot of people. I myself just haven't been as far as family members or anything else, but I was kind of naive. I didn't even think about the difference between type 1 and type 2, but it's incredible that she's able to take something like that and be a valuable resource for people in that community. Also, being involved with She Podcast, big players in the women's movement of podcasting. That's a great thing to be a part of also.
Oh, for sure. I'm pro-feminism. I'm a feminist. And I with my interviews, I actually deal with a lot of empowering other women. So it is good. We're just allies on the side helping women out, you know?
I'm going to share this interview with you. You'll like it. We take a deep dive into her content creator journey and various other things. So I hope you do enjoy. But before we get into that, let me take care of a little business. Jeff here. I want to talk about a few things that keep this podcast going. If you like the work that I'm doing, I encourage you to share it with a friend. That really is the best way to spread the word about Indie Podcaster. I would love it if you would go to your favorite podcast listening platform, may it be a Apple or Good Pods, and leave me a rating. Throw me some stars if you would like. All that word of mouth and sharing and reviews of this podcast does help. This podcast and myself are proud member of Quite the Thing Media. Quite the Thing Media, podcasts that speak to you. Go check out all the great independent creators from around the world. It is a community-based podcast network, quitethethingmedia.com. If you want to check out my page, it's quitethethingmedia.com/podcastfather. You can request a review from me on site or submit a form to participate on this very podcast. PodPage is a proud sponsor of this podcast. PodPage is an amazing resource to build your podcast website. You want them big search engine hits. You want to be out there. You want to leave your mark in the digital world. And this website makes it extremely easy to do that. You can set up your podcast website in just a few minutes. Make sure you check it out, podpage.com. That's enough of all that. Let's jump into this awesome interview. I'm excited for my guest today. It is Stacy Sims with Diabetes Connections Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. Like we were just talking about, this is I've interviewed all sorts of different types of creators and artists. This is a unique one that I'm just thrilled about.
I feel like I've got high expectations now. I'll do my best.
Oh, you'll be great. So I have been listening to the podcast and I did hear you reference several times that you actually, as far as the, I don't want to say interest in diabetes, but your son diagnosed with diabetes, type 1. And that's why he got you into all this.
Yeah. So my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which used to be called juvenile diabetes. And he was about as juvenile as you can get. He was only 23 months right before he turned 2.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I had been a health reporter. I had worked in local TV news for a long time. And at the time, I was working in local radio, hosting a morning show. So I knew just about enough about diabetes to get him to a doctor. And we were very lucky that it was caught before too many bad things happened. But it was a real education, even covering health news for a long time. I didn't know anything about type 1. And he is 16. He is doing very well. But I started the show 6 years ago after I left that radio job because I didn't hear a show like it, like a lot of podcasters. I kind of made the show I wanted to hear. And that's how it all got started.
You're like a really great person to have on this because I've tried to have like some different walks of life on this podcast as I've interviewed the last couple of weeks. And yours is just so unique. And that's why I've been so excited about this interview. What year was it when he was, how old is he now?
He is 16. He was diagnosed in 2006. And I started the show in 2015. So, you know, you walk around like a zombie for a while when your kid is diagnosed with something like that, just trying to figure out how to make it through each day. But once it became more of a routine of our lives, it was easier to look around at doing other things.
I honestly can't even imagine. It's definitely something that you've taken a liking to as far as being passionate about it. So you talked about radio. So you were an on-air radio talent around this time?
Yes. So radio was my first love. I started in radio when I was in college. I went to school in Syracuse University, and I worked at WSYR, the news talk station up there, when I was a senior in college. I was like the world's worst weekend reporter. But I did radio. I just loved it. And then I worked in local TV news. I thought that's really where I would stay. But we had moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And it really just was, in TV news, like in a lot of careers, you have to continue to advance or you leave town, right? Once your three-year contract is up, if they're not going to promote you, you go to another station in another city. And I really liked Charlotte. I didn't want to leave and I wasn't getting anywhere at the station that I was working. So luckily for me, I was also doing a lot of guesting on radio. I was the health reporter on a radio show. And long story short, the general manager liked what he heard and asked me if I was interested in working at the station. So I became a morning co-host at WBT, which is a huge Charlotte heritage station. It turns 100 next year, you know, one of these big blowtorch stations. And I worked there for a decade doing the morning show. It was fantastic, except for getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's pretty much why I left, because after 10 years of that, I had two little kids, and when they were going to bed at 7 o'clock at night, so could I. But when my daughter started middle school, I realized I was kind of missing out on a little bit too much. And I was trying to get, you know, I was going 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night and trying to go to Girl Scouts and sports, and we just couldn't do it. So it was really hard to leave, but I left.
And that's what I was actually going to jokingly ask, what time did you have to go to bed for that? But yeah, 7 p.m. Wow. So it's,
you need to go to bed between 7 or 8, but I was going to bed at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. It was terrible. It was not healthy.
What all are you involved in now?
Well, the podcast had been, I kind of treated it like a part-time job. When I launched it in 2015, I knew I was going to seek out sponsorship down the line. And I did. So I had a small business to begin with where I do commercial voice work and freelance writing and radio work and that sort of thing. So the podcast over the last couple of years has kind of grown to become much more of the part of the business. I still do some commercial work, but not as much, and voiceover work. I wrote a book about diabetes. I speak about diabetes, so I'm pretty busy. But I recently joined up with the fabulous women of She Podcasts, and I am the director of corporate sponsorship now for She Podcasts Live, which is an amazing event coming up in October. So I'm really excited about that, and happy to talk more about it if you'd like to know more.
Yeah, I mean, the stage is yours. This is, we want to highlight what you're doing, and I'll be the first to say I absolutely love She Podcasts, and I did not know that. So, well, congratulations, and that's awesome.
Since you and I have last talked, I mean, it's very recent. So I'm really excited about it. And my feeling is that podcasting, I mean, sure, there's a lot of sponsors that you would think of that want to get in front of podcasters, you know, microphones and companies that host and that sort of thing. Those are all wonderful. But I really feel like the industry is ready for sponsors that want to get in front of business leaders and movers and shakers and, you know, kind of outside of the industry. But She Podcasts it's the largest in-person gathering, and I'm so grateful we can be in person in October, of, you know, women who podcast, content creators. It's for women and non-binary creators. And it's all about learning, creating, thriving in podcasting. I was able to go to their first conference in 2019, and it was incredible, because conferences are fun. I mean, I don't know if you've been to them, but, you know, podcast conferences are lots of fun. It's lots of schmoozing, lots of learning. But for women in podcasting, you know, there are different needs, there are different wants, and it's a different atmosphere. And I found She Podcasts to be a very nurturing place where people could ask questions that they might not have asked, because you guys are wonderful. It's nothing against guys, but a lot of time when there's one woman in the room and 20 guys, she's not going to raise her hand and ask a question. So it's a really cool and different event.
Yeah, I know. That is super cool. I'm just tickled to learn that you're a part of that. That's awesome.
Thank you. So
I can tell it obviously means a lot to you. How did this all happen? I mean, obviously you've built yourself quite the work that you've done, and you've got a career going off this podcast. So did they approach you, or?
Oh, with She Podcasts, you know, I've known Jess and Elsie, the founders of She Podcasts, for a very long time. Because I think this is something that is really helpful to many people, but when I'm excited about something, when I find a podcast that I like or find a community that I like, I get involved, I get active, I reach out and I say thank you, or this helped, or I send in audio when they ask for it, you know, that kind of thing. And so I've been talking to them since 2015, since I launched my show. And I was literally just having a conversation with Jess, and we were talking about my sponsorship. I actually launched a course earlier this year to teach people how to get their shows sponsored. And the opportunity came up, and that it was really just one of those examples of right place, right time, right skill.
That's awesome. So I did want to go back to college. You talked about Syracuse getting involved with the radio there. I did the same out in Washington. And to me, it was huge doing it in college, because you just got to learn. I want to say you got a head start on the fundamentals of radio. You know, I did a lot of marketing courses too and all that, but I didn't get into that kind of stuff until later when I had a career in radio. But how critical was it as far as Syracuse radio to you? just seeing how much fun it could be and just learning the fundamentals of that communication.
Well, I was one of those weirdos that knew what they wanted to do in middle school, right? It's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a broadcaster. I just knew it, and I always loved it. I was, I would use my old tape recorder to make commercials and radio shows in my room. I mean, it's embarrassing, but it's true. So going to college at a school like Syracuse, which is very well known for the Newhouse School of Communication, it was fabulous because I was surrounded by a bunch of nerds just like me. And it was great because there were people there that they could quote, I don't know what your radio experience has been like, but they would tell you like the call letters and who the program directors were and the history of the stations. And I didn't quite know that much, but it was really an incredible experience. There's several radio stations on that campus run by the students. There's WAER, which is actually an NPR, I believe it's an NPR affiliate, but it's run by students and faculty. And then there's WJPZ, which is student-owned and operated, which is, when I was there, it was more like adult contemporary, you know, hot AC station. And it competed in the market. They sold commercials. They gave away a car at the state fair. I mean, it was a really wild place to be. But the atmosphere was so much fun. And it's a community, and I know I've used that word a lot today already, but I'm still involved with that group. There's an alumni association that is second to none, and we do yearly reunions when COVID's not around. It's been great. And those are people that are not only friends, but they can be professional contacts too. So I'm always learning from them. So when I got that job at WSYR, I was 20. And when I tell you I was terrible, they don't teach you much. It was just like, oh, can you write a little bit? Sure. Here's a car. Here's a map because, you know, no GPS, no phones. I don't think I had a cell phone. I was 20 years old. And go cover stories, find stories, enterprise stories. I knew nothing. And I was convinced they were going to fire me every Monday because I did stories on Saturday and Sunday. But all they cared about was there a story or two to play on Monday morning? And I gradually got better. And, you know, thankfully they kept me on. But radio's fun. It's like podcasting now too, right? It's full of dynamic, smart, fast people who just, you know, have a passion for what they do. Because I'm sure you know, if you don't have a passion for your content and for the medium, this is a lot of work. It's not going to last.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. It is a lot of work. And I'm kind of realizing now that I underestimated it, if that makes sense.
We all do. We all do.
So I'm thinking about the year 2015, like you said. That to me is also the same year when I think I first really heard the word being used frequently, podcast. Because that's around the time, I think, when it just started to go a little bit more of getting noticed. Would you agree with that? I mean, I didn't really know about them until 2015. And certainly when I had a show on the internet forever ago, it was not called podcasting. That is around the time to me when I actually discovered it.
Yeah. Well, right. It was for a while, people were saying that they were kind of using the terms internet radio and podcasting a bit interchangeably, which isn't really, you know, the case.
Well, I was called a radio reject all the time.
Oh, okay.
By doing the internet. You're doing internet radio, you know, they were like, oh, well, you're not on the real radio.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny how all that has changed, hasn't it?
That's actually what I was about to say. Absolutely. Yep.
So I think when you're talking about 2015, so Serial, which a lot of people say, you know, was a big turning point in podcasting, the show Serial, which, and I'm sure you know this, you know, it was also around the same time when Apple changed their iOS to make podcasting more accessible. I don't believe it was a native app change at that time, but I believe it was how it got on your phone or how things loaded. But those two things in 2014 and 2015 really changed the game. You're absolutely right. And it was interesting for me because I was listening to podcasts in the mid-2000s, 2006, 2010, when you actually had to plug your iPod into the computer and download the shows.
Right.
And I had a little iPod Nano, I remember, and I used to get like all the NPR shows or, you know, it was just really difficult. And not having to do that changed the game significantly. So when I launched in 2015, it still seemed really mysterious, but it was kind of this beginning, I think, of where we are now.
Who did you go to when you first started for advice and all that? Was there a mentor that you had that you knew, or you were just winging it?
No. I laugh because I was on somebody else's podcast. There have been diabetes centered podcasts really since there's been podcasting. It's amazing to me. There were some, like I said, way back, you know, in the 2006, that era. But I was on somebody else's show, and I said to him after, "Hey, Chris, I like doing that a lot. I'm thinking of launching my own show. How the heck do you do this? Like, what do? I know how to do broadcasting, but how do I do podcasting?" And he sent me an email. I'll give him a plug. He had a different show back then called Just Talking, but now his show is called Mark All That Apply. And he sent me an email that said, "You need a host, you need a microphone, you need this." And he like laid out kind of how to do a podcast. And for somebody like me, who I can talk all day long, and I knew what the content was going to be, but having the production spelled out for me, having the distribution spelled out for me, that really made all the difference. And so I really, I credit him all the time for helping me get started.
And back to the diabetes piece of it all.
Yeah.
We talked about how you are introduced with your son. How much into this scenario or this ordeal would you say when there was a point in time when you thought like, I really want to make a difference because of the experience my family's gone through? How long did it take before you started thinking like that?
Well, it's interesting. I always say I'm like the luckiest person you'll meet who has a child with type 1, because I was already involved with JDRF, which used to be called the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Now they are just called JDRF, but they're one of the biggest research charities, you know, in the country and in the world really for this. And when I worked at WBT Radio, I was, as radio personalities will be sometimes, I was the MC for charity events, and I was the MC for their golf event. So I got to know them over the years, and I got to know people who lived with type 1 and their kids. And so when my son was diagnosed, I had resources. And I got involved with kind of what they were involved with, walks and charity events and new, you know, welcoming new families. And then a few years into it, I realized that there is so much technology and news that is changing. There's so much research and information that is out there. It's very difficult to find because, you know, your news outlets, your mainstream media types are really not going to cover this in depth, because it doesn't appeal to enough people. And that's when I realized that a good way for me to make a difference, something that wasn't happening, was in-depth interviews with the newsmakers, with the technology companies, with people who live with type 1, to kind of create a history, give a source of information, kind of, you know, fill a void. And I love, my whole background, my whole career is in news. I love news. I love information. I love conversation. And so the podcasts that I mentioned in diabetes were already terrific, but they were mostly adults telling their personal stories. They wouldn't necessarily talk to, this week I talked to a technology company that makes a continuous glucose monitor. And I get to ask them all the questions that my listeners want to know. And I get to follow up and say, but you promised this, where is that bit of technology? Why isn't it out yet? Or what are you going to do to help make access better? Why is it so expensive? You know, I really get to ask them questions that they're not going to get if they do an interview, even with a national magazine that's going to spend half the interview defining type 1 versus type 2. I don't have to do that. So it's a long answer. I'm sorry. But the answer really is, it took a few years, but I decided I didn't want to share my son's story necessarily. You know, he is entitled to decide when it's time to do that. So I wasn't going to, I didn't share inordinately about him. Although he does come on the show sometimes. But I wanted to fill a void by providing information and resources to this community.
Do you ever have people that are just really thankful for the service that you're doing? Because I'll be honest, listening to your podcast really got me thinking. And I realized, like, this is something that I'm a privilege of not having to be involved in, or anybody directly really close to me, even though I think it's more common than most people like myself even realize. But this is something that I don't even doesn't even cross my mind ever. So that was a really neat thing about the podcast to me. It really got me thinking and wanting to learn more.
Yes. I mean, my listeners are fantastic, and I get some wonderful notes. But I think what you just made me think of is, you know, there are so many podcasters, a lot of independent podcasters who focus on health advocacy. And that's an incredible part of podcasting. And one of the best things about this medium, when you have a story to tell and it's not something that's going to appeal to tens of thousands of people, you can still tell that story and make a difference. Somebody wants and needs sometimes to hear that voice. So it may not be diabetes, you know, maybe it's breast cancer, or maybe it's fibromyalgia, maybe it's IBS. You know, I really feel like health advocacy, health leadership, layperson leadership is such a great resource that is conveyed through podcasting. Now, you have to be careful because, you know, the flip side of that is there are some bad actors. There are people who are selling you snake oil, right? There's some people who are preying, unfortunately, on people's fears. But for the most part, I've met some incredible people of all different kinds of health communities. And I think that that's one really cool part of podcasting, that we can kind of help each other. So sure, I mean, I focus on diabetes, but there are many other communities out there. So I hope you never need us. I hope you can always listen to just fun podcasts and not worry about it.
I'm proud to announce that the Podcast Father, myself, Jeff, and Podpage are teaming up for this sponsorship. Podpage is great, guys. Like I was telling you earlier, it is so critical to have an actual podcast website. I know the link trees are used a lot, but you need an actual website. You need something that's going to show up in Google. You need something that's going to show some hits, a trail that will lead to your podcast. And there's not a better way to do it than Podpage. You can build a beautiful podcast website in 5 minutes. Automatically create a listener-friendly podcast site from your RSS feed. Customize the design to create a professional look you'll be proud of in just a few clicks. There is no coding or technical knowledge necessary. There's a free trial to give this a shot, and there's different packages ranging from free to all the goods and gadgets, but still at affordable prices. Podpage is big supporters of indie podcasts, so make sure you support them also. Go on podpage.com and get your podcast website set up. With that being said, we will roll into this segment sponsored by Podpage, where we will play a trailer from a different indie podcast every episode. I hope you enjoy it and give them a listen after you're done listening to my show. Then afterwards, we'll jump back into the interview.
Hi, I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast. The podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al.
And a bunch of other stuff.
That's right. Do you like nostalgia? Do you like sibling banter? Do you like beer? Do you like Weird Al? Are you human?
If you answered yes to any of those questions, give us a listen. Become one of our loyal commenters.
I think mental health has been a big thing lately, as far as people being more comfortable talking about it. And I do see a lot of, and there's a lot of good ones, even podcasts that have come about off of mental health. But to me, I don't see as many that are something that's so physically impactful on somebody like diabetes can be. And I think it's such a cool thing that you're able to provide that sort of content for people that need it. Is it hard to reach new listeners, new audience for something like this?
Yeah, it is actually. It's difficult. Type 1 diabetes is a pretty isolating condition. And it's often something where the person who's living with it or the family affected by it doesn't know anybody else. You know, it's not super common. So it can be difficult because people don't know that the resource is there. And I'm sure you find this, even as we've come such a long way with podcasting, where most people kind of know what it is, I still get on Facebook, or if I post or I talk to people in person, which we're starting to do again, I get, you know, oh, I love to watch your podcast, but I just don't have time. I'm not a video podcast. Sometimes I've put up interviews, but I mean, it's a traditional audio podcast, or I don't know how to find your podcast. And then I'll take their phone and they have it all set up. They just don't know what they're doing. So, you know, it's pretty simple to get started, but there's still a barrier for a lot of people. Or I don't have time. You know, I added transcripts in 2020 to the show and they're not perfect because I don't have the time or the staff to make them really speak diabetes well. And there's a lot of jargon. So we do our best. But those have been really popular because there are some people who still just do not want to listen, but they want to read. So fine by me. I just want to get them the information. But I do find that once people find the show, you know, they may not listen every single week because not every episode is pertinent to them. But my engagement in terms of like Facebook groups and people commenting, it's a very strong and passionate community. Hey, can I take a quick second? Would you mind if I just did a quick definition of type 1 and type 2 and jumped into something else real quick?
No, the floor is yours, Ep.
All right. I like to take a little soapbox moment whenever I do it.
I was actually about to ask you if you could, and if you do this, if you could do me a favor, can you share a couple misconceptions that people may have about these?
You got it. Okay. I think, you know, I take for granted that people know all about diabetes, but there are so many different types. But let's focus on the biggies. So most people know type 2 diabetes. And, you know, diabetes is a pretty misunderstood condition by people who aren't in the community or don't have it. And part of it's because it's become a bit of a punchline, which is really unfortunate. You know, hashtag diabetes or, oh, that's a plate full of diabetes. Look at that ice cream, you know, diabetes.
Oh, obesity reference. It's like, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, and it's become a big joke in some ways, which is really unfortunate. So this is how I used to explain it to my son's preschool friends. I used to like, who likes to eat food? Right? Everybody, yeah, I like to eat food. And food is how we get fuel. That's what we tell little kids, right? You put gas in the car, it goes, you eat healthy food, it gives you energy. Well, what happens with diabetes is that with all types, something is preventing your body from breaking that food into fuel. With type 1 diabetes, it's an autoimmune condition. Your body attacks itself. They don't know what's going on or why it happens. It can happen at any age. My son was 23 months. My friend was 68 years old. Type 1 diabetes, your body attacks itself. It attacks the pancreas specifically and eliminates the cells that produce insulin. Insulin is what your body needs to break down the food into fuel. It kind of releases the energy from the glucose. This is a very layman's term. So, you know, don't write in. I'm not a doctor, but this is the easiest way I've found to explain it. There is no cure for type 1 diabetes. Eating more healthfully, you know, may make you feel better day to day, but you are always going to need to inject or infuse insulin. Even if my son ran a marathon every day and only ate lettuce, he would still need to inject insulin. So type 2 diabetes is where the body still produces insulin, but for many reasons is unable to use it well. So you're eating, your body still cannot break down the food into fuel properly. And unless it's treated, when the food is not broken down, you get high blood sugar. The glucose in your body is circulating around. It's very damaging to your organs. So type 2 diabetes, look, it can be exercise. It can be eating better. Those things can help. You may need insulin. There's a huge genetic component to type 2 diabetes. So even people who are thinner can get type 2, especially if there's a long family history of it. And I kind of skipped this with type 1, but as I mentioned, the glucose, if not broken down, circulates and is very damaging to the organs. Without infusing or injecting insulin, somebody with type 1 will be dead within a few days, if not a few weeks. Type 2, it's a little bit more insidious. It can take a longer time to see the damage, but the damage is there just the same. And then the one thing I always like to bring up is something called LADA, or type 1.5. And LADA is latent autoimmune diabetes in adults. And it is misdiagnosed 30% of the time. And what happens is somebody who's an adult, 35, 45, goes to the doctor, they have high blood sugar. The doctor says you must have type 2 diabetes because you're an adult, but they don't. They have type 1 diabetes. And it's this, I said they have type 1. They have type 1.5. It's very complicated. But anyway, so my whole message here is, if you have had a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes as you listen, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you're taking your metformin or your medication or whatever, and your A1C is still high, ask your doctor about 1.5 or LADA and see if that's what's going on. Because it's amazing. You can be misdiagnosed like 30% of the time, and that misdiagnosis can last 10 years before they figure it out. That's the whole big soapbox. Woo.
I like it because I think that's what we're trying to do. Not only highlight the great work that you're doing, but talk more about this because not many people, I say not many, that's just a general term, but, and I'm not going to lie, I started Googling a lot of stuff for this interview just because I found when I started listening to your podcast, I started realizing, like, I really don't know a whole lot about this. And I started kind of feeling ridiculous. So I've actually been researching. I didn't even know the difference between type 1 and type 2.
But why would you? I don't think most people do. And that's okay. You know, if you're not affected by it, I think it's totally understandable. And I hope I was kind of all over the place there. But it's just so important to know that adults can get type 1 or type 1.5 because it really matters in how it's taken care of.
And I think for me, myself, like you said earlier, played it all the terrible things that are referenced as far as diabetes. People just generally speaking may just try to connect it to obesity. And that is not the case, especially with type 1. That's why I'm really glad that you did go off on your quote unquote soapbox. But there is a big difference and the awareness just is not there. It takes people like yourself to make sure the awareness is spread.
We're doing our best. But I got to be honest with you. I pretty much try to spread awareness when I'm on a show like this or maybe during Diabetes Awareness Month in November. But my focus over the last couple of years has really turned kind of more inward. It's been a funny evolution, to be honest with you, as I'm really trying to serve the community that listens to the show more. So it's I'm just kind of thinking about that as you're asking. And it's interesting. I'm always happy to educate. I'm always happy to talk about it. But at the same time, you know, there's so much real specific information to get to my people.
Well, your people, the community, I'm sure the engagement is very high, like you said, because this is going to be something, they're not just going to be listening to it for no reason, right? There's probably going to be a reason, and they're going to feel a really tight-knit personal connection to that community. So I think that's why it's awesome. You're not just going to be listening, like generally speaking, just to check it out, unless you have a reason to. And I think that's where the engagement rate is definitely really high in comparison to just an entertainment aspect of a normal day-to-day podcast.
It's funny because that's absolutely true. And then every once in a while, I'll have a guest that, you know, the general public is interested in. Mark Andrews, who's an NFL player. He lives with type 1. So, of course, you know, I took questions from my listeners and we had a great conversation a couple of years ago. But that was one where the general public, like more people were interested in that than I would expect. The episode that I aired this week, I would love to say it was an interview with Nick Jonas. I was able to record a news conference with Nick Jonas, who lives with type 1. And we were able to submit questions, but it wasn't really a one-on-one interview. But the episode is this whole conversation with him. And it's getting a lot of attention from his fans, right? Who know he lives with type 1, but don't really hear a lot about that side of him. And so that's been really funny today. As you and I are speaking, that episode is getting retweeted by like the Nick Jonas fan club or whatever they call themselves on Twitter. So I'm interested to see if they really listen, you know, what's their engagement going to be like? You just never know with podcasting.
That's very true. Especially when it comes to like social media, you're like, what is the outreach really? Right.
Right.
But no, that's the first thing I did see that. And I did listen to it actually, the Nick Jonas thing. It may not be like the community, but it does bring more awareness, which honestly does benefit the community.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's a good thing. No problem with that. I wish I had my chance to ask my questions because I submitted a few. You can hear if you do listen that they mentioned the questions that I asked, but they left out what I think is the most important question about the price of insulin and is he going to use his platform? And of course, I knew they weren't going to ask him that, but maybe someday he'll come on the show and I can ask him all my harder questions.
I'll put a good
word. Oh, thank you. Yes,
he's everybody. My best friend, you know, of course. So tell us about some other podcasts that you listen to. It can't all be medical, right? I mean, you got to have some other, I don't know, a lot of people are true crime. There's a bunch of other things. What else do you listen to?
I'm a huge Game of Thrones podcast person.
Ah.
I think that honestly, that we as podcasters can learn a lot from that community. So let me take a quick look at my phone and make sure that I say the ones that I mean. But I love Game of Thrones, the books, and I love the show, but I've been interested in the books for a very long time and we're all waiting for the next one. But, you know, there are shows like History of Westeros and Radio Westeros. And I mean, there's a whole bunch. I probably listen to like six. But what's cool about them is that they do a lot of crossover. they're very supportive. There doesn't seem to be competition, you know, which is really cool. And I think not necessarily unique. I think a lot of communities are like that. But that's really a fabulous one. I listen to she podcasts all the time. I love, love, love Maintenance Phase and You're Wrong About, which share a host. You're Wrong About examines older, I laugh when I say older because they're from my time, basically, but news stories from like the 80s and 90s and some into the 2000s. But they kind of go more in depth, and it's just a really interesting and funny conversation. And Maintenance Phase is a look at diet culture, and it is phenomenal. And, you know, if you're kind of a guy wrinkling your nose going, I don't know, you will love it. It's just funny, interesting. I mean, they do everything from, they took a look at like what Master Cleanse is, but then they took a look at Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show, his diet book from the 70s. So it's a cool show. I could go on. I listen to four, probably like you. I have too many podcasts. I have so many on here that I haven't listened to in a long time.
I always try to make it like it is my duty to listen to as many as I can. And especially if I'm interacting with them, I just feel like it's disrespectful if I don't.
Yeah.
So the last couple of months, oh my, hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
Good and bad and in between and all around. The big takeaway from meeting all these independent podcasters, I didn't realize before I kind of started off on this journey how many people just want to create content. And it's just a perfect environment these days to do that. Everything used to be so complex with the internet, and it's just changed so much. And we really are on a great time for people to start and make an attempt to create something new, which is what I wanted to ask you. If you had to give some advice to somebody that was starting out, whether they wanted to create content in the form of podcast or anything else at all, what is some advice that you'd give them?
I actually give a lot of advice on podcasting. I've had a bunch of friends, you know, who've wanted to, and professionally, like I said, I speak about sponsorship a lot, but I would definitely say put sponsorship to the side to begin with when you're just starting out. I think the best advice that I've seen in practice that I've given is that if you're going to start a podcast, you should plan on 4 to 6 episodes. And what I mean is, don't plan out everything you're going to say, but at least at the very least in your mind, say, I'm going to do 6 episodes or I'm going to do 4 episodes. Pick a number, because I feel like many people get super excited and I'm going to have a show. I'm going to do a weekly show, or I'm going to do one every day, or, you know, I'm going to do one every 2 weeks, and they have no idea how much work it is. And they have no idea how few people will listen for their first year, right? Unless you're a celebrity. You know, it's very time consuming. And depending on what you're hoping for, starting really small like that can be helpful, because if you have 6 episodes, you now have a series that you've planned out. You know, maybe you've written a book and you just want to talk about the chapters of your book, or maybe you have an idea and you want to flesh it out and see what works. But if you have 6 episodes, then you have 6 episodes and you can say, I did it. It's done. It'll be there forever. Good for me. Or you can say, I love this. Episode 6, forget it. Let's keep going. And that has actually worked well for several people that I've given that advice to. I have a couple of people who've said, I'm done after 4. Like, this is, I'm out of my league, but I want to at least get to what I planned. And I have a couple of people who have continued on, but having that beginning and that goal is really, really manageable, because I'm on episode 393. And if you had told me in 2015 that that's what I would be doing, I feel like the weight of that would have been way too heavy. Like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I'm going to do this every single week. And then in 2021, I'm going to add a second episode every week. You got to be out of your mind.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine for something so specific. I mean, you really have to be creative with what you're doing. You can't do the same thing every episode, especially with like diabetes. You have to find new forms of spreading the information and new entertainment aspects. So I think it's super cool that you get into it over 5 years, then you add a second episode a week. Yeah. That's like almost challenging yourself, right?
Like, I have like shiny object syndrome, I think. Like, that looks fun. Let's try it, you know? So what I did was, earlier this year, I decided to launch what I was calling classic episodes. I have this huge back catalog, and I didn't want to do dynamic ad insertion. It's just me. So, and I have a wonderful editor, John Buchanan at Audio Editing Solutions. There's a plug for him. But I couldn't do that. So I decided to do a reissue. So I would take the episode from 2015. I would do a new introduction. What's the person up to now? And then replay that. And it was fine. It was good. They were getting good response. But then I had this idea about 3 months into it. No. What I really need to do is a weekly newscast that's only 5 minutes long about all the top stories. Because podcasting is great for information, but it's not breaking news. I mean, I'm used to, like I said, radio. You know, it's breaking news. It's more immediate. So I said, let's do a diabetes news update every week. And I do that live on Facebook now on Wednesdays and turn it into an audio episode on Fridays. And I love that. I mean, talk about more work for yourself, but it's great. I mean, in every couple of weeks, there's a new diabetes conference. So more studies come out and there's always something to talk about in terms of technology or research. And it's all types of diabetes. That is, the show itself is focused on people who use insulin, but that newscast is for any and all type of diabetes, like gestational diabetes as well, things like that.
Could you ever see yourself getting into another topic on a different podcast or starting a new podcast that's completely separate?
I would love to. I have so many ideas. I think like most podcasters, right? It's like, oh, I want to do this. I toyed during COVID with doing a Broadway type podcast because I love musicals and I love making fun of musicals sometimes when they're really cheesy. And I thought about doing something fun like that. And then I thought, I could do a review show and, you know, I'd get free tickets. And I had all these ideas and I thought, I don't have time. I would love to do, there's so many different things like a pop culture, something lighter, right? But I just don't have the time because I want it to be good. I want it to be high quality, but man, I would love to. There's so much fun stuff to talk about. When I listen to other podcasts, I always want to do more, but there's only so many hours in a day. But my youngest is going off to college in 2 years. So maybe then.
We'll have to start a podcast then. I do think that the one other cool thing I want to bring up about your podcast is that you do have a very positive vibe, because it isn't a very positive thing that you're talking about, but it shouldn't necessarily be looked at like a negative thing, but you're able to keep something that can be so negative and still be really positive. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I think that's what makes it work. You couldn't just get on there and be negative about it. Hey, you need to do this right now. You need to go see this doctor. I mean, you're keeping it positive, which is what makes it a good podcast, because it is something that people struggle with in a negative way, but you are helping them almost see a positive light to it. Maybe I'm just going off on my soapbox here. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
No, I love it. So I was pulling up on my phone. I just got a review. I always forget to ask for reviews on Apple and everything else, but I got a review this month that says Stacy's style and tone is upbeat and positive. And then he went on and, you know, I hear Stacy smiling through each episode and he talked about what he likes about the show in terms of information. And you know, what's interesting is that comes, I think, from my radio background, because when all you have is your voice, you have to give information in a way. It depends on what you're trying to do, right? But the job I always had, morning radio, was we want warmth. We want people to turn on the radio and feel really good about starting their day with us. The news might be bad, right? It's rarely great, but you want people to turn on that radio and get reassurance. The world's still here. Your commute is happening. You know, we're with you. And I was always taught to be really warm and welcoming. And I think that that helps a lot when it comes to my type of podcast. It's not going to work with every type of podcast. And there are times when I have to, if I'm trying to really ask a tough question or kind of double down on things, I try to do it in a way that's comfortable. But at the same time, you do have to ask. So I really appreciate that. I mean, the hard thing with diabetes is you don't want to be too much of a Pollyanna, right? We want to be regal. But I do, I've said it on my show many times, like we're the luckiest people you'll meet. And part of that is because I knew people who were living well when my son was diagnosed. So I didn't have the horror story of, you know, the first person I met told me about their cat who had diabetes, or, you know, their grandmother 70 years ago, you know, who lost her life. Or I didn't have the horror stories, and the horror stories are out there. And so we were really lucky. And, you know, most of the time, I hate to say, it's really not through anybody's fault of their own. There are problems in this country with healthcare and education and access. So it can be difficult to get the care that people need. So I appreciate you saying that because we try to keep it real but positive. But I also think as podcasters, you need to know your audience. You need to know what kind of tone you're trying to get across. And if you're serious about it, working on your voice and getting good feedback can be incredibly important because your voice is your tool.
Yeah, my voice is terrible. I'm just throwing crap against the wall and seeing if it sticks. I'm along for the ride, I guess. And I'm glad you took the ride with me today.
You have a very genuine voice. You don't have like the big announcer, like, hey, let's all do sports. Blah. You know, you're very genuine. I mean, when I started in radio, I was told that my pitch was too high. And so I used to put my headphones on, and anytime I was on the air, I would crank the treble way up so that it sounded even higher to me. And that would make my voice go lower. And it really helped. But at the same time, you know, well this is another topic altogether. Women's voices are, microphones aren't generally built for women's voices. So you don't hear us the way we sound. That's why people often will be more critical of women's voices in podcasting. Quite often it's just the microphone, or it's a really interesting phenomenon. So I've kind of worked on it, but I don't know. We could talk about voices all day. It's such a cool thing to think about. And I think that with the upswing of podcasting, and I don't want to say radio's on the way out because it's not, but it's changing, right? I mean, let's acknowledge that.
Big time.
Right? You don't have those big voice guys anymore. You really don't have in sports you definitely do, but you have more and more women in sports. You have more different voices. It's rare to have a big voice guy who's like, I know the news, you know, for the whole show.
I really appreciate you coming on and hanging out and chatting with me today. I did want to ask you one more thing, or sure, mention one more thing. Out of everything that you've done and accomplished, what would you say means the most to you? Because it kind of, we talked about she pods, and you are a great example of the breaking the glass ceiling and really coming out and succeeding. You've built this podcast of yours up from the ground, and it's incredible. Do you look at yourself like that, or am I just looking at you like that?
What a great question. I mean, listen, the fear of answering a question like this, honestly, is that I'm going to sound like an egomaniac, right? But I'll go for it. So obviously very professional person here. But I will say, yeah, I really do think that I've done a really good job in podcasting, not just getting the message across with diabetes, but selling my show, showing sponsors that podcasting is an incredibly powerful medium. It's a legit medium. They shouldn't be paying peanuts for it. They should be. It's very valuable. My audience is very valuable. I protect my audience. But I do think that I have raised the bar in many ways that some people may never know about. But in terms of what it costs to sponsor a podcast, what people expect out of podcasting, I talk about disclosures and disclaimers and ethics all the time. My listeners probably get tired of hearing it, but I'm very clear when, you know, I'll interview a sponsor on my show and I'll say, look, you know, they are paying for the commercial, but they're not paying for the content. And you'll hear me ask them hard questions, and credit to the sponsors that stick around. So to me, just having this show for, you know, 6 years and continuing to innovate and find new ways to tell stories, I'm really pleased with that. I mean, I'm also really happy that I've been able to do it without sharing too much personal stuff about my son. You know, he's a great kid, but he's got his own stories to tell. He doesn't need his mom, since he was 10 years old, talking about his blood sugar and how he manages and all of that stuff. You know, that would have been a pretty compelling podcast, but it wouldn't have been fair to him. Maybe he'll do it when he grows up. He comes on occasionally. I'm really proud of that. And I wrote a book. I mean, I'm very proud of that. It's called The World's Worst Diabetes Mom. And it's all about how being perfect is impossible when it comes to raising a kid, let alone a kid with diabetes. And that's been phenomenal. And my book tour was canceled, of course, in 2020. But I'm starting out this summer. I'm able to get back on the road. And I'm really excited to be going to diabetes conferences. And the book sold really well. So that was a long answer to your question. But yeah, I mean, I'm proud of what I've accomplished. And I don't mind saying so.
And you should be.
Thank you.
But I do want to make sure to give you a minute to promote and talk about where they can find all your stuff at.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, first of all, as you're podcasting, you should be checking out She Podcasts. So I'll get the plug in for that. She Podcasts Live is happening in October in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's going to be amazing. So join us for that. And if you'd like to talk to me about sponsorship, just reach out. The easiest place to find me is diabetes-connections.com. And I am Stacey Sims, S-T-A-C-E-Y-S-I-M-M-S, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I do not hang out on TikTok or Snapchat. Those are my three. I'm on LinkedIn, but you know, those are my three basically for podcasting. But diabetes-connections.com will take you anywhere you want to go in terms of learning more about me.
Stacey, I really do appreciate you doing this interview. You are an inspiration, and we'll definitely have to keep in touch.
You got it. Thank you so much.
Really do appreciate you listening to this episode and checking it out. I hope you continue to do so with the next. I hope you have an appreciation for what I'm trying to do here. Highlight all the different things all sorts of different creators are doing. I hope you get behind me on that and continue to join me on my journey. I'm Podcast Father, the Indie Podcaster. See you next time.